In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" I like this time of the year. Life is bursting out everywhere. Plant bulbs we buried deep into the ground in the fall and forgot all about them are now beginning to poke their heads out from the frozen ground. Soon our fields will be green, gardens will be splashed in colors from the blooming of crocuses and tulips and daffodils. Soon we will be wakened and greeted in the morning by the chirping of birds. Some of them will begin to sing their choruses even as early as the ungodly hour of 5 o'clock. I too was up early this morning and saw the beautiful sunrise with an array of colors splashed across the eastern sky. In the light of all that is happening in the nature on our part of the globe, especially now after having gone through one of the worst winters in a long time, it is hard not to be caught up in the rhythm of life. As life is erupting around us, understanding scripture is becoming clearer to us. Nature interprets the meaning of resurrection and life. When Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and life," now we can see that he meant resurrection not just at the end of times, but also in the here and now. Resurrection is a present reality. Asatoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, mrityoma amrutangamaya, shanti, shanti, shanti. This Vedic prayer from Hindu scriptures, when translated into English, reads, "From the unreal, lead us to the real. From darkness, lead us to light. From death, lead us to life." In the last 4 weeks of Lent, the gospel readings have been from John, whose goal is to portray the decision to follow Jesus is a moving away from error, a moving away from darkness and death to truth, light, and life. Both Nicodemus and Samaritan woman, after their encounter with Jesus, moved from error into truth. The blind man, after years of groping in the darkness, received sight and for the first time saw light. And today we read about a man walking out of death into life in the story of Lazarus. These were the stories of hope and amid the stark and stinging realities of hopelessness and despair. Conceptually, this progressive movement from error to truth, from darkness to light, and from death to life is echoed in the prologue of John's Gospel, where the Logos is both the light and life, without which there is darkness and death. As we are coming close to our Lenten journey, the readings for today brings us to the valley of dead bones and the grave of a decomposing body of Lazarus, and then calling us, challenging us to vision life with all the possibilities that holds. Having raised Lazarus, Jesus stood at the gate of Jerusalem and called it to move from its ways and practices of error, darkness, and death to truth, light, and life, and challenged it by putting his own life on the line. Just as Jesus could see a decomposing body standing in front of the tomb of Lazarus And standing at the gate of Jerusalem, Jesus could foresee the death and devastation it awaits in a few short years. Whether it is the valley of dead bones or the grave of dear friends or the ominous vision of the city of Jerusalem in ruins, standing in the middle of it, one could hardly envision life. But there it is, challenging us, calling us to imagine, to believe, to dream, and to envision life. Because God is all about life. And we are made in the image of God. Ezekiel, the prophet and priest, lived and served Israelites who were in exile in Babylon before 600 years before Christ. He preached forgiveness and salvation to God's people during hopelessness of exile. The bones in Ezekiel's vision are a symbol of a nation that was dead in sin and scattered by involuntary exile throughout the surrounding nations. Separated from each other and subjugated, Israelites of Ezekiel's time were a people without hope, a people who lacked spirit. Ezekiel's ministry of visioning with people, can these bones live? About a future in which God would bring them together in their land was like the dry bones coming alive. At the time when the event of raising Lazarus said to have taken place, Jesus was a fugitive. Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish council, had decided to put away Jesus, to kill Jesus. After avoiding the authorities for some time, Jesus, despite the warnings from disciples and well-wishers, decided to head back to Jerusalem via Bethany. Danger of being caught was ever present. Challenging the death he must face, he went towards Bethany and showed to the world and the authorities his power over death. Death did not hold any power over him or what he came into the world to accomplish. At the very center of the whole narrative, Jesus pronounces, "I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who believes in me will never die." And yet, we see him in the account twice, perturbed and deeply troubled. It shows his anger at death's power and sorrow over its ravages on the lives of the people. Death is real and it has great power over people. Its enslaving and oppressing hold on people was what Jesus came here to destroy. Like the people of Ezekiel's time and friends of Lazarus, we too are surrounded by death, and at times we feel overwhelmed by it. We witness death day by day in the images we watch on TV broadcasting from Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria, to name just a few hotspots in the world. We witness people dying around the world of unnatural causes in incidents of gun violence, suicides, and not having adequate medical care and vaccines. We witness our planet dying a slow death due to global warming, pollution of the air we breathe and water we drink, and the large-scale depletion of non-renewable energy. We witness death day by day in broken relationships, in families torn apart and marriages ended, and in sickness and disease sapping the life from someone once so vibrant. If we choose, we too can live half-dead lives, a life defined by death, overwhelmed and burdened by death all around us. But is that what God desires of us? No, no, no. In the Hebrew scriptures, we read Ezekiel rejected the notion of death, taking an upper hand, and he challenged his people to visualize life forming in the valley of dead bones. In the epistle to the Romans, Paul refuses the claim of death by saying that the new reality of life and resurrection is here. And in the gospel, Martha and Mary saw the reality of life in the body of their brother Lazarus emerging out of the tomb after a brief absence. Life, my friends, cannot be contained. It cannot be stopped, and it cannot be prevented. Life erupts around us in all its abundance, because that is what God is, and that is what God desires for each one of us. Life and resurrection are a present reality, not just something to be hoped for in the distant future. God is calling us out of our half-dead lives, like he called out Lazarus to experience and embrace abundant life that he offers. The question is, will we come out of our own tombs and choose life?